You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
This is episode 155 of Retired Racehorse Radio on the Horse Radio Network, part of Equine Network, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products, Cashel Company, and Spalding Labs. Retired Racehorse Radio is your guide to the adoption, care, and training of the retired racehorse. Brought to you in cooperation with the Retired Racehorse Project and New Vocations Racehorse Adoption Program.
It's a Making the Makeover episode, and today we chat with our makeover writer, Sam Fawcett, on how she likes to introduce her horses to their first outings. We catch up with New Vocations for a training tip and introduce our adoptable horse of the week. Stay tuned.
And they're off on Retired Racehorse Radio, the podcast that is your guide to the adoption, care, and training of the retired racehorse.
This is Joy Orr in Detroit, Michigan.
And this is Kristen Kovach-Bentley in Jamestown, New York, and you're listening to Retired Racehorse Radio.
Well, Kristen, I feel like we're doing a bit of time traveling for listeners. So while they're hearing this on their normal day of July 10th, it's June for us.
Yeah, I was thinking I should have introduced myself as Kristen Kovach-Bentley in maybe Du Bois, Wyoming is going to be the closest town I will be to on July 10th, I think. And I will be very far outside of that town. So if all goes well, because we have a lot of planning and prep and driving to do. By the time you're listening to this, listeners, I'm on vacation. So
I love that for you, by the way, that you're like not just doing a staycation. I'm doing a staycation for obvious reasons. But
yes,
like you're taking full advantage because we've never taken a summer break before.
No, and I haven't taken like a real vacation that hasn't been a long weekend in probably 4 or 5 years. Definitely like not since COVID. So
I'm thrilled for you.
Yeah, we're really doing it up. We are going to go backpacking in the Washakie Wilderness in Shoshone National Forest. And it's one of those places you're not allowed to take any motorized equipment. So we are going like way off the grid. So hopefully I come back.
Don't get eaten by wildlife and or rabid humans. We know those are out there too. I do not want to find a new co-host right now.
No, now is not a great time. No, we do still need to, back where we're recording this in June, we still need to order our bear solutions.
Yes.
So, because it is actual grizzly bear country, which is exciting and also a little scary. So
I'm going to be there for all the photo spam when you come back to cell reception though.
Oh yeah. Oh, you're going to know. It's going to be like, ba-boom, look at all these pictures of mountains and trees and stuff and nothing else because that's where we're going.
It's going to be perfect. I'm so excited.
Yeah, me too.
I can tell you for what I'm doing is finishing up my nursery, which is underway right now.
Super cute.
We're doing better than I thought we would.
I saw Zach posting pictures of painting, which was adorable.
Very cute about the whole thing. Also, he's getting ready for like a massive food show at the end of June in New York. So he'll be passing through your neck of the woods again.
As always, he can stop by.
Yes. So he's like works on that all day, like building different equipment and booth things and trying to like get all of his vendor stuff in order. And then at night he stays up and paints until like 1 a.m. so I can go to sleep.
Ugh, what a man.
He is fabulous. I really won the lottery with him.
Love that. Love that for you. Love that for the babes.
Yeah. So that will hopefully be done by July and I'll be doing finishing touches. Also, listeners, if you follow our social media, you will know the genders of these said mystery babies because we'll be doing that in June. Normally something I just announce on here, but since we'll be on vacation, you're going to have to follow us at Retired Racehorse Radio. And if you already follow us, you already know, and it'll be fun.
It's me that she's not spoiling it for because I'm going to the party. So
I want full reactions.
Yeah.
No one can know.
So sorry, y'all, I've ruined it for you. You're going to have to go find it the hard way.
Well, it also adds that they should follow us anyway. I love all the things that you post. You are amazing at running our social media.
Yes, Retired Racehorse Radio. And our audience is growing, which I love. So, you guys are super interactive. We post some fun stuff. And then, you know, we enjoy some friendly light hazing from listeners who, the debate on how much you bet at the Derby, that one got pretty
funny.
That
one was great. Also, it was like, this is taken out of context.
I love taking a quote out of context. That's my favorite thing to do.
I know, it was like 50 for the day.
Now, to be fair, I don't remember you saying 50 for the day. I really thought it was 50 on the Derby. So that was also in my bed.
The Derby, the Preakness, or the Belmont. Like, I do, to me, that's like the day for that race, but I divide it in different ways. So I'll do multiple, like $2, maybe a $5 trifecta. Like, I also do Zach's bets for him too. So.
Okay, but it is all on one race. See, so I wasn't wrong.
For those races. But if I'm going like to Keeneland, it's 50 for the day.
Well, yeah.
So it's just kind of like my general rule. If I don't.
All right. I'm defending myself here. I was not led astray.
We're both right.
It's fine. We're always both right. That's the beauty of this show.
I'll tell you what's not right, though. The fact that twins weren't enough of chaos for me. I'm getting a puppy during break two.
Oh, girl. All the baby things. That's fun.
Yes. So we're getting another little German Shepherd puppy.
Oh, perfect.
There'll be a girl. And we have to figure out her name still. I'm leaning towards Mouse. But we will see what her actual name will be.
So, yeah. I think so far, I think we've always picked, I think out of the three dogs we have right now, we named two of them in advance. But like we had seen pictures.
Yes.
And then one ended up getting named on his way home.
I mean,
so not very long after.
It's going to be dependent on her personality. We're either going to do Yersa, which means little bear.
Oh, I love that.
So she's more like serious, like strong feminine vibes. That will be her name. But if she's kind of like more goofy and whimsical, we're going to name her Mouse, but spelled German. So M-A-U-S.
Oh, I love that. We do joke that we wasted a pretty name on Lark because her personality is more like Oof or Thud, but... That's
Lark
right.
is her Lark own, now. Own vibe, though.
Lark is a vibe. I hope your dog does not come out like Lark. She's
I've
she's
never
a lot.
Met a living meme until I met your name.
Yeah. She's a Jim Henson failed character, I think, that somehow got stuck in our house.
We still like her. We still like her.
Yes, we do. She's a riot. All right. That's the incentive for everybody to follow my personal social medias to see video
You'll
and
never
photo
be
evidence of Lark.
Following Kristen's social media, that's for sure.
You know what else I've been loving recently, Joy, is Spalding, our friends at Spalding Labs. Yes. They sent me some fly spray samples to use, and that stuff works. Like, I can smell it on myself because I just came from the farm because, it's fly spray, so it gets everywhere. It gets on you. But, like, the nice thing about it is that it's, like, natural ingredients, so when it gets on you, you don't immediately feel like you want to, like, take a shower so you, you know, don't get whatever weird chemicals in your system. Smells really nice. It smells like plants. Like two different people now have been like downwind of me and they're like, what smells minty? And I'm like, it's the new fly spray. But it also works too. Like it's not just like nice smelling natural stuff that doesn't actually work. Like it actually does work, which I think is kind of rare to find in the like natural based fly spray.
Like I feel like natural stuff works really well on gnats for the most part, but like when you're really starting to get the thick of fly season with mosquitoes and like those giant buzz bomber flies.
Oh yeah.
It's typically doesn't work the same way, but I will like support Spalding all day. And this isn't even a Spalding ad. I know they're one of our sponsors. We really do actually like men. It's so nice that they sponsor us. But the fly predators are phenomenal. They got us through last summer pretty significantly. Like when people would visit our stable, they noticed a huge difference in the amount of flies at our barn versus other barns. So definitely we'll be investing in that again. I'm going to have to give the fly spray a try, but
yeah, definitely.
I've never been disappointed by Spalding Labs.
Yeah. I didn't even know they made fly spray. And then they were like, hey, do you want to try this? And I was like, oh yeah, absolutely. I do. And it even like has it on the bottle that you can like after you use part of it, then fill it back up with water and cut it a little bit, but it should still be just as effective, which I love. You know, they're not like, oh, go out and buy more and spend more money. They're like, no, here's how to make it last longer, which I think is a really nice touch too.
Oh, and
unusual
fabulous.
In a company.
It's,
so,
it's yeah. a good company to support. So very happy they support us. Love that about them. Again, this wasn't necessarily an ad, but.
No, I just have, I've had this stuff in my barn now for a couple of weeks and I was like, I got to give this stuff a shout out because it like legitimately is really well. And that seems to be all I'm doing this summer is fly spraying horses and then dodging rain. So,
yeah. Well, hey, we love it. And it's not just them that we love too. We also love our premier sponsor, Kentucky Performance Products, who has some new products coming out, which is super excited to try. but they have never failed me. I've used their products for years. So we are going to hear a message from them now.
Is your horse suffering from respiratory problems like intermittent coughing, nasal discharge, seasonal allergies, poor performance, or difficulty breathing during exercise? Kentucky Performance Products has a new supplement, Airwise, that can help. Formulated using a synergistic blend of high-quality, potent antioxidants and micronutrients, Airwise is research-proven to help horses maintain healthy respiratory function. It has been shown to promote normal respiratory rates, enhance lung function, support a healthy inflammatory response in airways, and maintain immune health. To see if Airwise, available through veterinarians, is right for your horse, speak with your vet, visit kppusa.com, or call 859-873-2974. Well, we are back. It is our even-numbered episode. No, odd-numbered. What number episode is it, Joy?
That's a great question, Kristen, because we're in vacation mode and we haven't been paying attention. It's episode 155.
Right. Odd-numbered episodes are our Make the Makeover segment this year, which means that we have Sam Fawcett from Iraqi Equestrian, our friends to the north up in Ontario, Canada. So welcome back, Sam.
Thank you.
Sam, you're much more put together than we are. We don't know what episode it is. We don't know what day it is. We don't know where we are. But we do know the makeover approaches always. The makeover is always getting closer and closer. And, you know, so we're recording now. It's end of June. This episode's coming out in July. There's just a couple of months left. And I know one thing that's always looming on people's minds as they're prepping for the makeover or considering getting involved next year is, what do you do to get a horse prepped as far as going out into the world? So what have you done so far with this year's makeover hopeful? Have you gotten them out for, you know, a horse show or clinic or off property adventure other than going to the vet maybe?
I mean, if we're including the fact that I've moved twice in the last year of having her, then yeah, I have gotten to ride her at two different facilities. So I guess those were kind of off property experiences, but in terms of the traditional,
you've had a lot going on.
I'm going to say it counts.
Yeah.
But in the traditional sense of have I taken her to a show or like a similar setting? No, I haven't, which, you know, about 4 months to go, it definitely has me feeling a little bit nervous. But at the same time, you know, I just try and remind myself, like, had a little bit of a unique path to the makeover this year in terms of us having, like I said, moved twice. You know, having to pick up and move your house and your farm is no small undertaking. And it often takes up a lot of time. So, you know, with everything, I didn't even really get her started this year until March. So, I had actually planned, there was like a little hunter jumper schooling show that I was thinking about taking her to. They have some like in-hand classes for young horses. And I figured, well, if I get there and she doesn't want to leave all 4 feet on the ground, then I can at least take her in hand class and then go from there. But the weather dropped fairly significantly and it was going to be pretty darn cold in the morning. And I thought it's probably not my best time to take the 5-year-old thoroughbred out for her first off property experience. So, I scratched that at the beginning of this month, but there is another one coming up June 29th. So that's kind of right now my like soft launch date for Ferda is I'd like to get her out to that show and at least get her in the in-hand class. They do have like a young horse under saddle and a young horse like cross rail. So we'll see where we can get to over the next couple weeks. And that would be ideal to get her out to. And yeah, we'll kind of have to play it from there after and see what she was like and what kind of plan I'm going to come up with her from there.
I love the phrase soft launch. an excellent use of soft launching for it. And yeah, hopefully there is no hard launch in any sense of that word. I like when you said the phrase, you know, a unique journey to the makeover. I think that's so accurate. Like there's no right or wrong way to get to the makeover, right? Like, and everyone's trip is going to be unique to them. And they're never going to look the same way. Like, I don't think at this point, when I did it in 2018, I don't think I had done a horse show yet with Jobber at all. I may have hauled him for a day show, but I had definitely not done an overnight. So I was like, I don't know how it's going to go. And, you know, we fit one in the summer. But, you know, when you're, I think when you live in the north, like we all do, you know, and you're obviously further north than us, like, yes, June, you're like, oh gosh, there's a deadline to the summer. But also, like, there is a lot of summer still left. And fall. Yeah, we are lucky that we get some nice weather through September so we can still keep doing those outdoor activities. And yeah, like I think there's, it's the time of year where you start to panic a little bit, but it's also like, no, you, there's time. It'll be all right.
I think it's definitely a good time of year to like take a bit of inventory on where you're at, you know, and be able to at least say like, okay, here's where I am now. No, we haven't gone off property yet, but I have this plan in action for the next month to maybe try and get out to like one or two things. And then again, like I'll be reassessing after I take her off property. Like, how did that go? Is she going to be a horse that can kind of get into the swing of the show easy enough? Or is she the type of horse that I need to take a couple times with no pressure, no expectations, like, you know, even just taking her in hand to the show and hang out and maybe get on and ride around, but not go on the ring. Like, I really try and go by each individual horse instead of just saying like, okay, this is exactly what my plan is. It's set in stone and like, they've got to get with it or, you know, not. Like you said, I think the majority of my makeover horses, I'll be honest, I don't think I've gotten out until July or afterwards. Canton Comet that I won show jumping with at the Mega Makeover in 2021 for the class of 2020. I took her to her first show in August. She did 2 weeks of showing at like an overnight, like provincial rated show. And, then we got back from the show and she kind of had just like a little bit of ankle swelling. And I had the vet look at it and she was like, you know, there's a little bit of inflammation. There's no tears. There's no strain. Excuse me. But she, you know, you could keep going, but be careful or give her the time off. And I kind of was like, well, I really like this horse and I think she's got a good chance. So I'd rather just give her the time off. So she got, I think, 3 or 4 weeks off before the makeover. And like from jumping, I just was maybe doing a little bit of light hacking with her and some light flat work. And I jumped her the Friday before I flew out Saturday. And then she shipped down Sunday. And I was like schooling on Monday. And I'm like, okay, here we go. I've jumped one cross rail in the last 5 weeks with my horse. And I'll be honest, warm up day didn't go as well as I thought it was going to with her. She launched me pretty hard over schooling the in and out combination. And I like grabbed on pretty hard with my knees in the air because I was about to be fully ejected when she cleared the standards and kind of felt my knee go. And I landed pretty hard on her back. And then that was the first time that she's ever shook me loose jumping. And it made her nervous. And she started stopping on me for the first time. I'd never had her stop before. And I was like, great, we show in show jumping tomorrow. And my mare has now decided she's stopping on me. And it was, that was a little bit hard mentally to get over. And luckily, like, you know, I just kind of like got positive again with it and got rolling and the rest is history. She did great at the makeover. And I've also been in situations where I took a horse that I had kind of started getting out, you know, maybe May or June, and he went to several shows and then he put on a complete rodeo show at the makeover that year. So it's really hard sometimes. You know, I think horses are horses. They're going to surprise you. Like, we all know that. You take them to 10 shows and they're not the same at every single show. So we just kind of have to do the best we can and try and make the best plan for them.
I think that's such a well-rounded way to think about it. And I love that you think about each individual horse's needs, because I feel like I'm someone who, while I'm not someone who's ever competed at the makeover, I have a high respect for it. I have shown horses and I sometimes feel like taking them on outings is more for the rider's confidence sometimes than the horse. And I think there's an opportunity to overdo it. And like the detriment of that too could be overstimulation, overtired, immunity, sure. All of those things can come into play. And I was curious if you found that like horses tend to enjoy maybe one or two outings a month. Maybe it depends on the horse. Maybe you have a horse who loves hopping in the trailer and going, but like, what do you find most off the tracks who are young and figuring out how to be ridden horses tend to like?
I would say that I probably aim to get them out, like, especially as we get a lot closer to the makeover, like within the 2 or 3 months leading up, like I'd like to get them off property twice a month. I was in a position actually last year with Della on a Princess where the facility that I was at, the footing wasn't suitable for jumping. And so I was actually having to ship her out once a week to go off property and jump her somewhere else. And I actually found that that worked great for her because she was just kind of a like pretty easy horse. Like she went from the trailer to the ring easy enough and didn't need like a whole lot of prep. And even when she got to the makeover, like she was pretty good going from the stall to the ring without any lunging or whatnot. But yeah, I do like to leave like a little bit of time between outings if possible, just for like some digestion and homework, like let the horse kind of come down from that experience if it was a bit overwhelming, and then to kind of make a new plan, like, okay, well, when we were schooling, this is what we struggled with. Like, let's go home and do some homework and then try and like make it better, you know? Maybe if a horse was like really sensitive to noise and they got a little bit worked up about the speakers, you know, maybe I'll go home and make sure I usually have my phone on me playing some music while I ride, but you know, maybe I'm going to put some speakers on or try and like replicate that situation in some way, shape or form. But yeah, I think again, that that's a hard question to answer because it's really going to depend on the horse. Like some for sure, when they get really overstimulated, then some might actually benefit from going out more often, like once a week. So that it's kind of like, this is something we do and it's not always a lot of pressure. Whereas if you take that same horse out once a month, maybe it's actually more of a bigger deal for them.
I think that's a perfect answer if it's very horse dependent. It's not a one size fits all by any means.
Well, and the hard part then is figuring out like what kind of horse you have with enough time to bring it along appropriately too. So it's, yeah, this is a tough balancing act, right? Like you don't want to go in February, you know, when they're barely restarted and maybe not ready for that experience. But then also you don't want to wait and go in like September, 2 weeks out, and then discover like, oh, this horse has big time anxiety in a group. Like, that's not good to know.
I do love the idea of in hand though. Like I think that was an awesome suggestion, Sam. I don't think we've heard that on the show before, of taking him to an in-hand show, or maybe if you don't have that opportunity, like even just a clinic or something, to let them out and about to see something they haven't seen before and build some trust in you as their handler.
Yeah. And I also too have found sometimes if I know I've got a horse that, you know, they've got some nerves at home, so I can only assume that we're going to have some nerves when we go off property. Sometimes I like bringing like one of my quieter horses who's kind of like been there, done that, isn't going to really care. And we have them stand on the ground and just hang out near the ring or in the ring if that's like an opportunity, if we're just off property schooling. And I found that can be really helpful for horses that get a little bit stressy to just see like, oh, well, like my buddy's fine with it, so I guess I kind of got to get over it and go with it.
I think that suggestion too with the in-hand classes that got me thinking of, you know, you don't always have to go to outings in your discipline, you know, like obviously that might be the easiest thing you have access to, but you know, some other grounds you can, I mean, some shows may not have this fee at all, but some grounds, you know, you just pay a non-compete fee and you can at least hack around in the warm-up, even if it's not the same warm-up that you're preparing for. And I know Dr. Reed, who's the consulting veterinarian for the RRP and the makeover, she used to take her like 17-hand eventer that she was prepping for the makeover, and she would go to like barrel races and like little rodeos and stuff and just sort of like let him see all that chaos. And then he was like, oh, okay. Because it was like super accessible to her, you know, and they loved it. They were all like, oh, look at this giant horse. He's so cool, you know, and he got to take in a lot of stuff. So, you know, and that's maybe not what you have to work with, you know, where you are, but for listeners who are like, man, I really want to get a horse out, but like, yeah, it's a 4-hour haul to my closest, you know, rated hunter show, and I'm bringing along a hunter. Well, maybe you just go hang out at the barrel pen and let them watch the game kids run around, you know, and do something different. So, yeah, so that suggestion to try in hand. Sure. Right. Yeah, like try something completely different, even if it's like, oh, well, you know, this isn't what we're training for. I always tell trainers, like, don't teach to the test, right? Like, just get a well-rounded horse. So that's a great idea to go find an in-hand class or something else.
Funny you say that, too, because over the last few weeks while I've been, Ferda had like a little scrape that ended up, of course, turning into cellulitis, and everything's good. She's doing well. But while she was kind of having that time off, I was like, well, I'm just going to like do some like silly desensitization stuff and see like what she thinks about like a big bouncy ball or like, you know, a streamer in the air and stuff like that. And she actually really pleasantly surprised me and like just didn't even care, and that I can't dribble a basketball and it bounced into her legs a bunch of times and, you know, throw it overhead. Didn't even care. But we have, there's a like a little place called like Happy Trails near us, and it's basically just like an obstacle park. And she's such a curious horse, so it's actually been something that I've been thinking about doing as like an off-property excursion with her, is like going with a couple friends who have like nice, well-behaved horses for sure, and taking her to this like obstacle park and just letting her play. And again, like just trying to make it a non-stressful experience and then just, you know, seeing how that can help her develop a little bit.
Oh, how fun. I wish we had one of those, like just to go hack around on, you know, and of course then like the reaction, everyone would be, yeah, right. I'll just come on up and hang out with you guys. You know, a lot of people would be like, oh, well then take her in competitive trail. And it's like, no, that's not necessarily the point here, right? The point is just get the horse out and experiencing new things. And all of that builds together to make her a better hunter or jumper or, you know, wherever direction you end up going with her. It's just all part of the overall experience. So I love that approach. I did look up to see how far away you are. You are further north than I thought you were. So we're not quite as close. I went to wave at you the other day as we were driving to the North County and I could see across to Canada. And I was like, oh, no, wait, Samantha's way further north than I thought. So she can't see me from here, alas.
I think we're like 2 and a bit hours from like the Buffalo border.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. And we're still about an hour and 45 from Buffalo. So not quite neighbors. Yeah. But it's fine.
Close
we'll convoy down to Kentucky together. It'll be great.
So speaking of like doing in hands or maybe finding alternatives if a show isn't necessarily available, I'm thinking of our adult Ammies or our junior riders who are coming in. Would you even recommend like a first outing could be as simple as just joining a group lesson at another barn, especially if they have more of a nervous horse and kind of easing their way into something new that's not necessarily a show or has too much pressure? I was just thinking, like, what are the options on the table that could still benefit both horse and rider?
Yeah, I think for sure that would be a great idea. And again, like, it's a little bit similar to what I said about like bringing a horse along with you and that it's a little bit quieter. If you're shipping over to have a like group lesson or maybe ride with a friend, something like that, I mean, their horse is going to, depending on the horse, hopefully be pretty quiet at home. And so help give your horse some, you know, good vibes. And also if your friends who are calm, cool, and collected because they're at home are all good vibes, then that's just going to feed for the rider as well.
I love it. So for listeners who are either thinking about doing the makeover, about to be the first time doing it, there's a lot of options on the table for getting those first outings in. And if you haven't done it yet, I mean, I always feel like in Michigan, I mean, we're up north, we're not as north as you, Sam, but being in Michigan, if you get out in May, that's an achievement. Like that's a really big deal if you got out in May with seasoned horses for a show.
Yeah.
Just because you don't know
what they almost like exclusively don't ever show in May shows up here.
Yeah. Like, and even if the weather's nice, the footing could be crap, you know, it could go a lot of different ways. You typically don't have, if you don't have an indoor, you might not be conditioned to even go. Like there's so many elements to it where people feel rushed and it shows in those May shows, as someone who has scribed for those May shows. But it can still be a good experience if you make it and it's safe to go. But there's also no pressure. There's a lot of other things on the table too. So we're talking how Ferda right now hasn't had her outings yet. When are you, or what would you say is like the ideal outings if she's doing really well in these desensitizing? Do you think the show is right up her alley, or do you think you need to scale back a little bit?
I think for me, based on like how she handled the first ride when, like I said, I moved to a new property and like brand new arena, new like stuff to look at, she is definitely like an exploratory type. Like she's interested in seeing what's around her. She's spicy, don't get me wrong, but you know, she also does like to work and kind of like get to it and get focused. So I think for her, like the plan that I have of taking her and, you know, at minimum, just doing the in-hand class, in the best case scenario, popping her on the Crossrail course after that. I think that's a good first step for her. And again, like then from there, I'm just going to kind of come back home, go back to the drawing board. And, you know, if things went really well, then like, okay, maybe we're going to push for the next show to do like a bigger class, like maybe step into the jumper ring and pop around or whatever. Or maybe I think, you know what, like there's also had a couple dressage shows coming up and maybe I'm going to take her to one of those and get her in the dressage ring and just, you know, again, without the pressure of having to navigate a jumping course, just kind of let her see the sights and get some feedback on that, because dressage is also an, I'm contemplating that being one of her disciplines as well. So, you know, I might take her there, see how she handles that. maybe she decides she doesn't want to play in the sandbox, just dancing. And so then we go a little bit more hunter jumper route, or maybe, you know, it goes the other way and she's super happy at the dressage show. And so then I can kind of, again, like reformulate my plan from there. And I'm also in the process right now of possibly adopting a second horse. So by the next episode, I'll definitely have him or not. But then it's, you know, even with another horse that is going to be a lot greener and I haven't had the same amount of time to get to know and stuff, like he'll probably end up dropping in a little bit on what Ferda's plan is, just because she's a little bit more the established horse and might dictate the flow of things so that I can kind of take both of them places. But maybe it's, you know, Ferda goes to a show and he just goes along as company and hangs out grazing by the ring. So again, like I always just try and, like, every time you like hit a little bit of like a plateau, or you're feeling like you're hit a plateau, like it can be so daunting and overwhelming to think about how big Kentucky is and how many horses are there and how busy it's going to be and how stressful it's going to be. And you can spiral out of control really easily if that's all you're thinking about. So I just try and, like, take things in smaller bites, work on what I can control at the moment, and not really try and stress too much about, you know, what's going to happen in 4 months, because 4 months is still a fair amount of time to work with your horse and retool however many times you need to and try and get to where you're trying to go.
Love it.
Love that. So Samantha, you know, you're a professional with many horses under your belt. What advice do you have for, like, the adult amateur that might be sort of bringing themselves along? They don't maybe work consistently with a trainer, or they're not going to shows with a trainer. How would you advise those people to kind of, like, do a, you know, a good self-assessment when they get home to decide what to do for the next time?
I think, like, writing down maybe, like, what your horse's strengths and weaknesses were when you got to the event, like, what did they do well at? What did they really struggle with? And then trying to make up a plan from there, like, okay, well, how can I help that horse with that? Like, if they were just, like, really wound up at first and they needed to blow off some steam, do I maybe need to take them for a lunge if that's an option? Or do I need to, at the next time we go out, like, plan to ride them just a little bit longer so that they can kind of be in a more civilized state of mind when we actually need to go in the show ring? Yeah. And I think that the nice thing about the makeover and all of the trainers that participate is I feel like we're all pretty willing to, like, lend an ear and hear what's going on with a fellow comrade and, you know, make suggestions. So I think for anyone that's, like, not really sure, or they might need some help, like, I think reach out to somebody, because most of us, especially the veterans, like, we're usually pretty willing to help. And, you know, even if it's just to talk you off a ledge a little bit and be like, listen, like, we've been there, it'll be fine. Maybe try this, like, make suggestions. And yeah, I think just use the support that is available from all aspects of the makeover, even all of the, like, library resources that are available online and get put together. There's a lot of good information in there, so that if you're not maybe working with a trainer per se, you can try and use other knowledge and experience to build your own program.
Love that. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, that's my favorite part about the makeover, right? Is nobody does the makeover alone. Even if you come and it's just you and your horse, you're not alone there at all. So love that.
I've actually, a couple years ago, I was sitting and just watching the ring go and got asked to help out with a girl whose horse had chipped in late the night before. So it hadn't had a chance to school the course yet. And the horse was like a little bit fresh, and the girl was by herself without a trainer, and she was really upset. Mm-hmm. And so this steward came over and asked if I would go over and help her. And I said, of course, for sure. And, you know, so I kind of helped her on the fly a little bit, and we got the horse calmed down. And again, like, the makeover is great because they were in a position where they could say, like, you know what, another horse is ready to go. You take, like, 10 more minutes and try and get to where you can be confident to come in the ring. And so that was great that was able to be done for her. And then she went in, and the horse went great. She went off course. She forgot her course.
Oh, that's too bad.
But, you know, she came out smiling and laughing. And I think that for me was probably the highlight of that year's makeover, was just being able to help somebody who was, like, ready to, you know, get off the horse and put them back in the stall and make sure that they were able to have a positive experience.
I love that. That warms my cold, I've done too many makeovers heart. So thank you for that. Samantha, remind us where listeners can follow along with your journey on social media.
Meraki Equestrian on TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook.
Lovely. All right. Well, best of luck as you get ready for those outings and keep Ferta going. And yeah, we look forward to hearing about the new one too, if you have him lined up for the next episode.
Yes, it'll be exciting.
Yeah, cool stuff. All right. Have a good one.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Cashel has been crafting top-notch products since 1986, designed to make your ride safer, more convenient, and downright enjoyable. From the Crusader Fly Mask, the ultimate fly mask, trusted by riders nationwide, to the Blanket Top Performance Felt Pad with pressed felt with merino fleece. It's like a spa day for your horse's back. To the beautiful beaded halters, adjustable, durable, and gorgeous. Visit CashelCompany.com today and gear up for the ride of a lifetime. Cashel, where quality meets the saddle.
Here's a barn hack you'll wish you knew sooner. You can kill flies before they even hatch. Fly predators are beneficial bugs that prey on fly pupae, killing flies before you ever see them. No more buzzing, biting, or endless stomping and swatting. They don't bother people or animals, but they do keep your barn, pasture, or paddock way more comfortable. Start early and enjoy fewer flies all season. Get yours now at spalding-labs.com.
Joy, I'm very excited for our new vocations episode. Feels like we're sitting down with an old friend that we haven't talked to in a while. We have Amanda Vance with us from the New Vocations New York facility. Amanda, welcome back.
Thanks so much for having me. I know it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been like a hot minute. So very exciting. What's going on in New York? It's been raining a lot for all of us in New York.
It has been raining a ton, but I'm looking forward to some warmer weather next week.
It is coming. Yeah, we'll finally get the summer that we've deserved for so long. Love it. Well, Amanda, we wanted to pick your brain today on maybe kind of a spicy training question.
All right.
So is there a point when you are bringing along your horses where you sort of, you know, you stop thinking about them as this is a retired racehorse, this is a thoroughbred, and you just start thinking of them as a horse or a sport horse or a hunter or a jumper or whatever you're doing with them?
So when the horses are coming off the track and they're coming into our program, I think about them as professionals at a job. And I think about them needing, or us as riders, trainers, the people who are transitioning them, I think that we need to build a bridge between what they know and what we want them to know. And it's amazing to me that we sometimes don't realize all the things that they're exposed to on the racetrack when they're training, when they're racing, when they're jogging. I think about the tractors that they pass that are grooming the track, or the truck that pulls the gate. Our horses are exposed to so many things on the racetrack that I think of them as professionals already. And I don't really ever think of them in one category or the other. I kind of just continue to think of them as needing to put more tools in the toolbox and continue to build. Obviously, mm-hmm. when we're training for a specific discipline, it's a little different, right? Because they had a discipline that they were good or maybe not so good at. So, you know, I'm not talking about they're a finished hunter or they're a finished dressage horse, but I don't ever think about them as just being a racehorse. And I don't think there's a specific timeline to make that transition.
Yeah.
They're a professional sport horse already. They've done a sport.
I love thinking about it. And for some reason, this is like in years of working in aftercare, this has never clicked in my brain until right now. So thank you for this hot idea that racing is just their first discipline. You know, we always frame it as like, oh, that's their first career, that's their first job, and it's a second career. And it's like, no, like, you wouldn't make this big fuss if you took a horse out of the jumper ring and put it in the hunters, right?
Like, right, exactly.
So yeah, why are we fussing so much about like, well, this was a racehorse first. Okay, well, yeah, it was, but also like, right. Yeah, that was just a discipline, but it's still the same animal. I love that. Oh my God, this is like the best idea I've heard. Thank you, Amanda. This is so good. Genius. All right. Genius stuff from Amanda Vance at New Vocations New York. You heard it here first, folks. I'm Retired Resource Radio. Amanda, tell us a little bit about the adoptable horse that you are featuring today, which I think Joy is a little obsessed with.
I am. She's so cute.
Yes, she is so cute. Her name is Sherman's Marlin. She is a big chestnut mare, and she just wants to please. She has a great personality. Under saddle, she is very, very brave. Nothing phases her. We were just talking about the tractors going by. We were riding her outside the other day, and somebody was going to mow, and there goes the tractor, and she's just trotting along. Nothing to see here. She just has this been there, done that sort of mentality when you're on top of her, or even you know, on the ground as well. She has been a joy to have in the barn. She, I don't know, she's 16'2". What more could you want in a partner who wants to do it all for you?
She's a beautiful mover, too. I'm watching her videos right now. I have a feeling that by the time this episode comes out, this horse is going to be adopted. There's no way this horse sticks around.
So I actually just made a free video of her because her movement without a rider is so lovely. And I think she just needs to develop a little bit.
Perfect. So that is the perfect horse to bring from your first transition, which is racing, or your first discipline.
Which was racing, something else, such as
the hunters, because she has that nice floaty trot that I love.
Yes, and that flat knee movement.
Oh, and the canter's even nicer. Yes. Oh, yeah. Okay, you can really tell I just got to the second video. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
I love that she's a feminine-looking mare. Like, that means world to me as a mare person. Just, like, she looks like she could be groomed forever and wants to be a girl's girl. But, like,
she does
such work.
Yeah.
I love her. Oh, and you know what? She's by Jimmy Creed. So if listeners, if you remember our girl Lee with Hot Girl Summer, that was also a Jimmy Creed. And we know that was a delightful little mare. If you have been a longtime listener and you remember that Make the Makeover year. So Jimmy Creeds all seem like uniformly just like sweet, nice horses.
Yes. Yeah. Good brains.
Very cool. And listeners, this is coming out July 10th. So we're a little ahead of the game, of course, with our recordings. But they are doing their summer discount to July 14th. So if you are one of our listeners who listens in early, you have that adoption approved for your application, you could get her for just over $1,700 versus $3,500. Like, it's a steal, everybody. This is a steal.
Yeah, that is a bargain.
A stunning horse.
Yeah, she's such a neat horse. And she just gets better and better every time we take her out and ride and do something with her.
Love it. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for sharing her with us, Amanda. And thanks for sharing your hot take, because I totally agree that, you know,
we do need
to just think of it as their first discipline. I think, Kristen, let's put that as a quote. We need that one as a quote down the
side. Yeah, I'm going to jot that one down. That's a Facebook quote right there. Yep.
Amazing. Well, thanks so much, Amanda. And if anyone's looking for a thoroughbred and you're more in the New York area or just around there, check out.
Or standard bread. Because I have
standard bread. That is true. We love both of them. Reach out to Amanda. Go to horseadoption.com. Get your applications in and hit out that summer sale. You're going to get some really lovely horses for, honestly, practically free. Who can argue? Amanda, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me again.
You can find our show notes and links to today's guests on the website at horseradionetwork.com. Like us on Facebook and Instagram. Just search for Retired Racehorse Radio. Follow us on Twitter at Horse Radio. You can find me on Instagram and Threads at The Horseback Writer. My email is kristen@horseradionetwork.com.
You can find me on Instagram at MisfitMare, and my email is joy@horseradionetwork.com. Thank you so much to our sponsors, Kentucky Performance Products, Cashel Company, and Spalding Labs, and to our partners, New Vocations Racehorse Adoption Program and the Retired Racehorse Project. Don't forget to check out all the other shows on the Horse Radio Network, part of Equine Network, at horseradionetwork.com. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the show as it helps us grow, and you'll never miss an episode. Remember to set your goals high and love to learn from every ride.
And as always, cow side leg.
Bye, guys.